email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we're heading into a busy few months ahead with the festive season getting earlier and earlier each year. There'll be plenty of late nights, plenty of parties, work parties, meeting up with old friends and family, and plenty of alcohol. Well, our next guest will be doing all of that, minus the alcohol. Holly Carpenter, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Great. So you posted recently that you're a year off the drink.
Yes.
Right. How was that received by people who follow you?
I was quite nervous to share it, to be honest. But the reaction and the response was overall really positive. I think that, yeah, I was just very nervous to share that kind of personal side of my life, even though I do share a lot about my life online. But I decided to keep it to myself for a year, see how I went. And yeah, the response was really positive.
Because I watched it. It's 2.5 minutes or thereabouts. And you're actually shaking. So
yeah.
It was a big deal for you.
Yeah, I feel like I'm shaking right now. Yeah, it seems like a big deal, you know, when it's yourself. And I don't know, I think in my head, I thought that if I stayed off alcohol for maybe 3 months and then I shared it, and if the response was negative and I felt judged and people started trolling me, which you just never know with social media, I was like, maybe that would set me off the rails and derail me and I'd go back and, you know, go off and have a drink. So I just decided like 12 months is a good amount of time to see how I feel. And also I didn't put too much pressure on myself. I was like, I don't have to talk about it in, you know, 12 months either. But I think we do have a very intense drinking culture in Ireland, and you don't often see people talk about the downside, I feel. I mean, it's more common for people these days to quit drinking, but I think the fact that I was very honest, even though I was literally shaking doing my mascara, it was well received.
Yeah, you were doing your mascara, which probably is a distraction. It's probably easier to talk into your camera doing your makeup than it is not doing your makeup.
Definitely. I felt like if I was just to have my hands down by my side, it would be kind of like Simon Harris giving a really serious message. I'm like, I'm not a politician. I need to stay on brand and do my makeup and keep my hands busy.
Yeah. And it was on World Mental Health Awareness Day.
Yeah.
So you made a connection between giving up the drink and your mental health.
Exactly. And for me, I think anxiety has always been a big struggle. And I've talked about that before, but I think it got to a point where I had to take some accountability and make the connection between how much I was drinking and how much anxiety I had. And, you know, they don't work well together for a lot of people. And, you know, I think that for me, I would enjoy having a few drinks before going to like a big event, because in my head, I thought it would help me with social anxiety, which I don't think like many people would think I have social anxiety. If they saw me out and about, I can appear quite confident in the moment, but I think I would always catastrophize big events and just feel quite nervous. So I thought that alcohol was my friend in that way, that would just get me through and it's fine. But I think the hour or two of relief that you feel from the first few drinks is quite fleeting in comparison to the blackouts and the chaos that can follow, and then also the days of anxiety that can also be in the aftermath. So okay. I felt a little bit like, you know, people would look through my Instagram feed and they might see a photograph of me at a wedding, dressed up, hair and makeup done, holding a glass of champagne, smiling. And that looked like, you know, a picture perfect moment. But actually, there was so much more going on in the background for me that I felt like I was living a bit of a double life.
OK, there's loads there.
Yeah, sorry, I talk a lot.
No, I was going, I better say that. But the catastrophizing. So a big event coming up, like a family wedding or whatever. So talk me through the thinking then.
If I knew the wedding was in a week, I would say the 7 days before a big event would be the time that I would really start worrying about it. And like, I think drinking responsibly didn't come naturally to me. Some people would just...
Were you worrying about the drinking, or were you worrying about what you were going to wear, or no? It was just about the drinking, was it?
Really mostly about the drinking. I was like, what if I get too drunk? What if I make a fool of myself? I'm going to try and just have water after every drink, make sure I drink, you know, eat bread. And I was trying to control it. And that was a big worry for me, along with the usual worries of how are you going to look and all that kind of stuff. But I would kind of just be trying to manage it all in the lead up, and that would actually, the anxiety and the nerves that I would build up within myself would only make me kind of drink faster once I got there, because I'd be like a bag of nerves.
Yes.
So I actually find it so much easier to just not drink at all rather than try and just have like, say, three.
Yeah. So let's go. You were Miss Ireland at the age of 19.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And looking back on it now, that was a big deal. And back then, which is about what, 13, 14 years ago, Ireland was a different place, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, social media wasn't as big then. And I felt like at 19 years old, I was more getting written about in the papers more so than written about online.
But it was a huge thing.
It was huge.
You were probably on The Late Late Show, were you?
I was.
Yeah.
It was actually on with Mr. Big from Sex and the City.
Right,
yeah, okay. It was a good night to be on. And it was a huge deal at the time. You would have got front page of the paper and everything like that. But along with that came a lot of pressure, even though, I mean, I know some people might not think pageants are a real serious thing. And I know that myself. It wasn't something I had a huge aspiration to do. I kind of fell into it. But it felt like a really big deal to me at the time. And that kind of would have been around the time that I'd say my drinking would have escalated, because I would have gone to events and, you know, my friends are all in college trying to scrape together money for a few pints. And I was walking into events where I was handed free champagne the minute I arrived. So I was like, this is great. So I was getting like to drink for free at a lot of events, which when you're kind of young and you're naive, and you're also, I think I was kind of struggling a bit with my body image at the time as well from the pressure of modelling. So I was underweight, so you're not really eating enough, and then you're drinking way too much, and then having severe blackouts, which would cause me severe anxiety. And I would, you know, so it was just a whole thing. I look back now and I'm like, I have a lot of empathy for my younger self, you know, because I was quite young. But also, like, you know, there were some nights where I had a great time and there's other nights where I was absolutely insane.
This is tough for you. As you were saying there, I have empathy for my younger self. There are tears in your eyes.
Oh, stop.
But I think that's hugely important, because, you know, we can be very tough on ourselves. Mm. And for you to remember, you know, and from the outside looking in, Holly Carpenter seemed to be living the life.
Yeah.
As you say, you know, Miss Ireland, loads of modelling jobs, free champagne.
Yeah.
But it was a different story completely.
Yeah, I was hoping I wouldn't get emotional, but it is kind of hard to think back to some of that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes I was okay when I was drinking and other times I was absolutely crazy. So I was kind of had like a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde thing. And
It's difficult not to drink in Ireland. It's becoming easier. We had Professor Bobby Smith in earlier in the week, and he told me that 25% of people, adults in Ireland now, don't drink.
It's becoming more popular. And I hoped that when I spoke about it, that my story would hit the right audience, you know, because I think a lot of people can relate to it. And you know, we see things online and we think that everyone has these perfect lives. And I was like, am I part of that problem with the fact that I'm not being honest?
Yeah. And that, so you felt that you were living a lie, which is a big statement to make.
Yeah, I know that sounds a bit extreme, but I just felt like I wanted to show people the reality that even, you know, someone in my position who might look like they're having a great time from the outside, they, this kind of issue can affect so many different people. And yeah, it's I know that being a year sober isn't a huge amount of time. Like, who knows what's going to happen?
I know, but it's a good chunk of time.
Yeah, that is true. And like, I should be proud of myself. And I think that anyone listening who can relate to me, the most important thing I would say is like, not to be hard on yourself, because why am I so emotional? Sorry.
but this is a very personal thing.
Yeah.
And I think what you've done here, which not a lot of people do and we don't do as a country, is you have linked drinking to mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we like to pride ourselves in the fact that we talk about our mental health all the time.
Yeah.
But yet if you try and link drinking to mental health, you're told to...
Exactly. And people can be quite standoffish about that topic, because a lot of people don't want to look at their own drinking, because, as you said, it's a huge part of our culture. It can be glamorized in the media. And, you know, I just think it's a short term solution for, you know, having that feeling of being free.
Yeah, well, let's tease it out then. So you were looking back at your, you know, late teens, early 20s self. You drank all through your 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you had some great times, I would imagine.
Of course, yeah. Some really good times.
Yeah.
I did quit drinking when I was 24 for, I think I was 22 months off drink.
Right.
And back then there wasn't really as many 0-0 options, uh-huh. and there wasn't, you know, mocktails and that kind of thing. So I did give it a go then, but yeah, so I'm kind of back now, but I never talked about it then.
Right. So what happened this time? What was the impetus?
I think like a lot of people, I found lockdown was quite difficult because you kind of had all this time and less responsibility in a sense. I know everyone was in a different position depending on their career or whether they had children and stuff. But for me, I was able to just kind of drink way more often. And at times it was fun, you know, people where I lived in Stony Batter would pull up a chair outside and you could have cans and a glass of rosé in the sun and it was nice. But it just kind of escalated for me then. And that was around the time that I met my fiance, Jamie. And we did have loads of fun nights. It wasn't like every time I had a sip of alcohol, I went insane. You know, there was times where it was fun and grand. But I think realizing that I'm coming to this next chapter of my life where I'm getting married, I want to have kids. You know, also with what I do, working with beauty and skincare brands, it is really important for me to go and network at events and meet with PR companies and try and have the confidence to go on and talk to my followers. But this was just dragging me down, I felt. And I couldn't even look at myself, you know, like after a big weekend, I just felt so down. And like you said, I had to make the connection. I couldn't be talking to my family and friends saying, oh, I feel depressed, poor me. But it's like, well, you had 75 drinks on the weekend. Like, you know, that's probably an exaggeration. But like, you know, you have to look at yourself and go, what am I doing that's not helping myself here? And I think like even anyone who doesn't even have a problem, if you're drinking regularly and you decide to give it up for dry January or sober October or whatever, you know, you're only going to feel better.
Mm.
And I know that like a lot of people can just have a few drinks and they're fine and nothing bad happens and they don't have anxiety. And I wish I was like that, but it's not really the case for me.
But from listening to you there, so you had social anxiety, mm-hmm. and you drank to try and self-medicate.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. And go on.
Yeah, that didn't work.
No.
So now I'm crying on the radio about it. So here I am.
I think this is important because the more conversations we have like this,
yeah,
you know, we just need to change our attitude to drink in this country. You know,
it's exactly.
Not, it's not shaking your finger or preaching. It's
no,
just
and
to
I never
give other
come
options,
across
other options.
Exactly,
isn't it?
I never want to come across like that. And you know, yeah, it's like I think a lot of people will be able to relate. And there's a kind of a shame around coming out and saying I have a bit of a problem with drinking because people hear drinking problem and they think you're an alcoholic and you're drinking every day and you're sneaking drinks here and there and everywhere. And there's so many different degrees of that, and you could be someone who drinks once a month, but every time you do it just completely derails you. And you know, I got myself in some really stupid situations. Like, you know, I spoke about this before in a podcast about when I went to Paris one time and decided to have a couple of drinks in the airport, turned into like a bottle of champagne in the airport, a few drinks on the flight. And the next thing you know, I'm in a cell in Paris, arrested for being drunk and disorderly. And that was quite an escalation from someone who wants to just have one or two glasses of Prosecco in the airport, you know. So like that's an extreme example of it. But also I could just be quite reactive and I could be chatting away to you here now and maybe I'd be one sip away from that drink that's just going to take me a little bit too far, and suddenly I'm finding everything you're saying is offensive and I'm kind of just going back to you like, oh, what do you mean by that? And then I'm starting drama and the next day I'll have to ring my friends and make sure that I wasn't rude to them and I'm apologising. And that has a serious knock on to your own like overall self-esteem, to always feel like you're like, you've embarrassed yourself or whatever. So I just felt like it was time for me. I'm not 21 anymore. You know, I have to own my own baggage and take a good look at myself in the mirror, because there's been plenty of times where people have said to me, you really shouldn't drink or you need to quit. But I don't respond that well to people telling me what to do. So I had to get to a point where I was the one making the decision and I was doing it on my own terms,
okay.
You know.
So was there a moment then?
Oh, there was a few like.
No, but because it was September last year.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Was there a night, was there a morning where you woke up and said, this is the day?
Yeah, pretty much. I think I had just had like a blackout. But for me, when I blacked out, it could be, it's not just that I can't really remember a few conversations, it's like a few hours are missing. And that just really scared me. And, you know, my partner was so supportive at the time. And he, like, I think because I could never remember how bad I was, it was easy for me to brush it off because I'd never had to see it. And people told me what I was like, but I never saw it. But actually, the night that I was really bad, Jamie videoed me. Sorry, I didn't even know if I was going to say that,
yeah.
But he did that like for me, and it wasn't to embarrass me or anything, but it was the next day when he kind of said, you know, look, this is what it's like when you get like that.
Holly, oh, wow. That's...
Sorry.
No, but that's big time.
Yeah.
How did you feel then when Jamie showed... You didn't know, obviously.
I knew that people, like, that he had told me that when I'm in that kind of blackout, it can be really difficult and it's hard to manage. But actually, looking at it, it just changed everything for me. And I was like, I just never want to be that person again, you know? And I deserve so much better for myself. I shouldn't be feeling like that. Jamie is the most, like, incredibly patient, loving person I've ever met. And he deserves so much more than that. Sorry, I didn't think I was going to start crying. But it is hard. And, like, I do think that, like, maybe it seems like a bit of tough love in a way. But if anyone's listening and they have a relative or a friend who just doesn't really realise the extent of, you know, how damaging it is for them, I do think that it helped me so much because I can never erase that from my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, you know.
Yeah.
I'd have to think about that.
I
didn't know this happened. So
I know, sorry. I never told anyone.
Yeah.
I kind of forget that I'm on the radio and I'm not just chatting to you. it is quite a personal thing. But you know what, at this point, like,
if
this is my story, you know, I can't change that. And
okay,
yeah.
Let's get to the positives then.
Yeah, sorry. Now,
so when you gave up drink before,
yeah.
You were 24, still quite young.
Mm-hmm.
You were still in the throes of everything that was happening. As in modelling and all that sort of thing. You're older, wiser, more settled.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get married next year, which is great. So over the last year, what have you learned about yourself? What have you learned about a life without alcohol?
I've learned so much, to be honest. You really, really do learn a lot about yourself. And I've learned to just try to look forward. There's obviously a lot that I can look back on and have regrets about. But every day that I put myself first and I do what's right for me is a bonus. And you just start to gradually feel a lot stronger, more independent, more capable. You know, in the last year, we've had a lot of things happen that were tough, you know.
Yeah.
Jamie's dad passed away and my dad's been quite sick. And, you know, I just feel like I can handle those things a lot better and I can be there for my family because, you know, I'd have the best intentions before of like saying I'll meet someone on a Sunday or I'll go and do this for someone on a Monday. But the hangovers and the anxiety and the depression always made me kind of like flaky. And I definitely feel like a lot more reliable as a friend and as a partner. And yeah, it's just been quite freeing. And, you know, of course, this is like not easy for me to talk about, as you can probably tell by my voice, but it has been, I'm not like massively religious, but it's been a blessing, really.
Yeah. Like I've spoken to a good few people who've made the same decision as you, and they say it's the best decision of their lives.
It really is. It's like a weight has been lifted. And, you know, I've gone to weddings, I've gone on sun holidays, I've done a lot of things that I would normally have associated with having drinks. And the first wedding was a little bit nerve-wracking, but, you know, by the time you've watched the first dance and they've cut the cake, you've seen all of the best parts of the day, you've chatted to everyone, you've had the crack. And for someone who was a very annoying drunk, I really don't have that much patience with drunk people. So the minute, like, I'm here, like, oh, everyone's wrecking my head, even though I used to be an absolute melt.
Yeah.
So once people start repeating themselves and telling the same story again, I'm gone. I'll take a little slice of wedding cake, go up, do my skincare routine, have it in bed in a fluffy hotel robe, and I'm delighted with myself. And I wake up the next day, and obviously you feel a little bit smug when you hear some people have lost their phone, other people had a fight with their boyfriend, and you're like, do you know what? I'm actually grand. So it's nice.
Well, you have the lived experience. You were there.
Yes.
So you can be smug, I think.
Yeah.
And what about the weekends? Like, because the weekends were where you did the most damage, I would imagine.
Yes. And I would have only ever really drank on the weekends. Even for work events midweek, I would always take the car. So it was a real weekend thing for me. And, you know, just because you don't drink doesn't mean that you want to run 5K and go for a sea swim. Like, that is a great way to spend your Saturday. But, you know, sometimes I still like getting dressed up and going out. And a lot of places now have really nice mocktails. And I still love that, like getting dressed up and going out for brunch with the girls. And you can still do that. And I probably have just realised that you have so much more time on the weekend. And I love just being fresh and taking my dog Max out for a walk and going over and seeing my parents and just starting the week with a clear head. Like every Monday feels like a reward to me now that I don't have that feeling.
And if you knew yourself that you were, you know, a drinker, people obviously knew that of you.
Yeah.
And people gravitate towards people that enable their behaviour.
Yeah.
So how has that been in your group? Have people fallen away?
It's funny because you do kind of realise who your good friends are. And a lot of my friends have been really supportive and they'll join me in having mocktails sometimes, or they'll kind of bring me over a bottle of 00 Prosecco when they come and visit me and stuff, which is really nice. And then you have other friends who maybe they might have a similar issue. And I think it's kind of like holding a mirror up for them when you start talking about what you've decided to do. So anyone that I used to go out for drinks with now, I'll always see if they want to go for a brunch or go for a swim or something like that. And you might just see a bit less of them. And I always think, and funny thing about the Irish drinking culture as well, is sometimes your friends are annoyed with you when you're not drinking. Like, I have friends who are like, oh, I really don't want to drink at so-and-so's hen, but she'll be really annoyed at me if I don't drink at her hen. And I'm just like,
so what do you do?
Yeah, it's, you know, people pretend they're on antibiotics, pretend you're pregnant. Like, it's an absolute pain. But I think if you, the stronger you get when you're maybe 3 or 4 months in and you haven't been drinking, once people just accept that you don't drink anymore, it starts to get easier. But those first 6 months when people are still slightly trying to egg you on, it's not easy.
Do you look back at the 22 months you did when you were 24 and think you're only 12 months in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. But I suppose I was young at the time as well. I was single for most of that time. So like, going on dates and lads would be like, what, you don't drink? Like, you know, it's just, it was just a whole,
it's
a whole,
terrible though that year.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, are you crazy? And I was like, yeah, I am, but not when I don't drink. So yeah, it was, I look back at myself, it was a different time. I was a different girl. Yeah. I was younger. And I just hope now that like, I can just look forward to this whole future without it. And when I have kids, they're never going to have to see me drunk, you know?
How did Jamie propose to you?
We went on a sunrise walk to Poolbeg, where it's somewhere we used to always go for walks down to the Chimneys with Max. So we were walking down and I didn't really expect anything because we would always do that. And when we got down there, we put down a picnic blanket and stuff and the sides of the blanket kept blowing up and I was distracted, kind of taking off my shoes to put my runners on the side of the blanket to hold them down. He's like, Holly, will you stop for a second? And then I looked up at him and he just started saying all these amazing things, which I think I momentarily just was like, what is happening? I can't remember what he said, which is so funny. And then he got down on one knee and yeah, it was amazing. He had actually asked one of our friends to hide behind a rock and take some pictures.
Because I was wondering who took the picture.
Yeah, it was lovely, yeah. But just as he took the pictures, this huge Irish fairy went by. Right. And it's in the background of all our photos, which is kind of funny. But yeah, it's been so nice. That was back in May and right. Now we've been wedding planning.
So were you in your sock feast then?
I was in my socks,
sock
feast, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, your
sock.
Would you prefer feast? Different socks?
I'd like to Photoshop some shoes on for maybe the invites. But right.
Can you do that? Oh, you can probably. Do that. You can do that, yeah. Let's see. Well done to Holly. So raw and real. Thanks, Holly, for highlighting alcohol exasperates my anxiety hugely and it's so hard to not drink in Ireland because so much is tied up in that culture. You're doing great. Be kind to yourself, says Orla. Holly sounds like a beautiful person. Her speaking today will help so many, says Dean Limerick. That's great, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I loved Holly on Dancing with the Stars. I voted for her all the time. She's so brave. Well done, Doreen. And we had to vote for Mairead.
Oh, of course,
year.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Fuming.
Yeah. Well done, Holly. Keep going. I used to do Dry January. Next January, I'll be 12 years not drinking. I don't miss it at all, says Anne. And a wonderfully honest interview with Holly. She's a credit to herself. Now, that's isn't that great?
I'll start crying again.
But isn't that it?
No, people are lovely. They really are.
But we hear about self-compassion.
I know. And I always preach that kind of stuff, you know, self-love and everything. But it is a bit hard when you start doing it on yourself.
Yeah.
You know.
Because it's tough love.
Tough love, initially. Yeah. Tough love is what I needed and it's working.
Yeah. And nobody else could do it, only...
Yeah, no one else could have told me what to do.
Yeah. They're strong-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Please let Holly know that she's so great and brave in taking ownership of her drinking and just being so honest and telling her story on the radio. Fabulous, says Orla in Cork. And helping people who are affected by someone's drinking or theirs. Just want to say well done to Holly. She's been so honest and brave. It takes such courage to do what she's doing. Much stronger than she knows. So well done, Holly. Very honest interview. It's coming from your heart because it means so much to you. Thought-provoking for sure. Take a big bow, Holly. You're great. Don't apologise for crying. We understand, says Mary.
Aww, thank you.
Amazing. Thank you for this powerful message. Keep doing what you're doing. So worth it. A big hug, says Trish. And they're all coming in there. So you've struck a chord. And that's important. And you're an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
So
the dreaded word. That
yeah,
most
I know.
Hate.
But you, it means that you have influence over mm-hmm. people. See, I understand the meaning of the word. So you have a responsibility in a mm-hmm. way. Yeah. And when you have followers, you have responsibility. And you I think you're doing something really positive with that responsibility. So
thank you.
Yeah. So we wish you the best of luck. And yourself and Jamie as well. And thanks so much for coming in and being so honest. Thanks, Holly. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.